Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, Willie, well, multiple European diplomats and US officials signaling to NBC News that potentially we are on the brink of something. A ceasefire deal would likely, Willie, look like Hezbollah moving its heavy weaponry behind the Litani River and the Israelis moving out of southern Lebanon. There are major hurdles, not least of which the difference between what the two sides are saying. So the leader of Hezbollah saying that deal needs to be complete and comprehensive, whereas Israel is saying that it reserves the right to deal with, quote, disruption. That's according to the Israeli ambassador.
Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry today, moving from the co-host chair to the host chair, which means it's my privilege to get to talk to Jim Carafano, who we get to talk to just about once a week. Jim, thanks for being here.
Hey, good to be with you.
So we listened to that clip there, and pardon me that I've heard them talk about a ceasefire a few times now in the Middle East, but is this one different?
It doesn't matter. In the end, it's not the real resolution to the problem. As you know, we've talked about on the show a number of times, the root of all evil in the Middle East is Iran. And so unless somebody has taken it to the Iranian regime and really cranking back on their ability to control and supply and empower surrogates like Hamas and Hezbollah, it's very, very difficult to get to what's called sustainable peace, which is, I think, what Israelis really want. I mean, Israelis just want to live in peace, and nobody's looking to turn the land into the world of milk and honey and solve every problem. But the Israelis would like to be able to go to bed at night and not worry about they're going to get murdered in their sleep. To have that on a sustained basis, somebody has to deal with the Iranian regime, and so I wouldn't be looking at the calendar other than look at the day, January 20th, because that's the day I think things really start to change.
Jim, I was just looking at a friend of mine on Facebook who lives in Israel. He is an Israeli by birth, and he was posting a Bible verse and saying, I'm really believing this today because I'm in a bunker right now. So things are certainly escalating. I guess my question for you is, do we put too much emphasis on a U.S. president for peace in other nations, or does the U.S. have that much power over what happens overseas?
Well, so this is the thing. The U.S. does have a lot of power and influence, but it's not there to make peace in the world, and it's not there to solve everybody's problems. It's there to look after the interests of the United States. It so happens that it is in the interest of the United States that, you know, like in the forest, you have an interest in making sure the fire doesn't start and burn the whole forest down. The Middle East is in the middle of everything. It's the crossways of oil flows, population flows, global financial networks. So it is in the U.S. interest that part of the world doesn't blow up. And this is not a heavy lift. This isn't about ending endless wars or a massive American troop presence. Donald Trump demonstrated really with a modicum of influence and power that the Iranians, you can put the Iranians back in a very small box. Joe Biden just did the opposite. Joe Biden released the Iranians and unleashed them on the region and created chaos. And so, look, I mean, it's just one of the things that happens is when you take an age of chaos out of the White House, the world winds up being a little better place to live in.
Jim Carafino is on the phone with us, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. We were actually breaking out in discussion about this yesterday, unexpectedly, but we did, talking about how Iran, just like you said, I think probably a lot of it is stuff that we've learned from talking to you, that Iran is the head of all of the terror going on in the region. But what specifically will Trump do once he gets into office, either that he already was doing in his first term, but certainly different than what Biden is doing now? How does he change the landscape specifically with Iran?
Well, I think there are two things. First of all, when the United States really tries to be an energy superpower and we drive exports, it significantly brings down the price of oil, which dramatically relieves the tensions in the regions, because people aren't fighting over a scarce resource anymore, and it weakens Iran's economy. Then there are lots of things you can do to actually curtail their exports. And then there's a lot of things you can do to make the regime more risk averse. So for example, right now you've got the Houthis, who are basically raging war throughout the Red Sea, driving up the cost of shipping for the entire world. Except for the Chinese, by the way. They don't borrow the Chinese ships because the Chinese ships are on their side. So I think Trump comes in, he dramatically deals with all those things. And we have seen a very consistent pattern of behavior with the Iranian regime. And if you remember, they are actually sitting on a population that hates them. They were swept, much like Joe Biden, they were swept to power in the Iranian Revolution with this promise that they were going to transform the country and make life better for everybody. And decades later, everybody knows that they've been completely ripped off. I mean, the country is run by a bunch of thugs, which are exploiting the Iranian people. And no Iranian person can actually live their life in peace. And they would be happy to be rid of these yahoos. And all the yahoos care about is staying in power, perpetuating the revolution. So the way this works is the more they feel threatened from both within and without, the more cautious they become, the less they're willing to risk things like unleashing their surrogates on other people or threatening to have nuclear weapons and other stuff. And so the more pressure Trump puts on them, the quieter they will be.
Jim Carafano, you mentioned China. Everything I read about China, which is few and far between, I mean, obviously China tries very hard to control what is said about China outside of China and within China. Are they in a difficult, even vulnerable spot right now economically? And is this really a time where Trump coming in could change the way we deal with China?
I believe so. I do think that they've got a lot of structural weakness in their economy. Look, it doesn't mean that if you have a weak economy, you're not a threat. I mean, look at Russia, look at North Korea. If you're running a dictatorship, you can be a threat to other people because you can literally shift all your money into that stuff and starve everybody else. But the Chinese do have structural weaknesses, and they're actually quite unpopular. I was with a group of folks from Africa the other day. The popular mythology is China owns Africa. They bought everybody up. And I would ask these people is, how many jobs have the Chinese actually created in Africa for Africans? And they looked at me and said, none. The Chinese come in, they bring in their own workers. They're not creating jobs. Africa's the fastest growing place on the planet. They're desperate for jobs for young people. Africa's doing none of that. And so I don't think China's the most popular country around the world. And I do think, they're ready for a snapback. And actually what we have seen in recent months is, the Chinese are buying more people off than ever. And I think the reason for that is that they really can't deliver on power and influence in the world. And so instead what they're trying to do is just corrupt people and buy them off.
Jim, this question is not, it dives into economics a little bit, but we were talking about the Trump tariffs. Do you see these things as a little bit more of a tool to get what Trump wants out of world leaders, or is he saying, no, we're actually going to do these tariffs?
I think it's a combination between a tool to fix some market distortions where people are actually kind of, you know, they do the thing like, I undersell everybody, draw everybody else out of business, and I jack the price up. So I think it's in part to fix the market distortions, and in part it's a negotiating tool to get people's attention. I, people pretend like somehow Trump is like Darth Vader. You know, the reality is Joe Biden put more out in tariffs, put on more tariffs than Trump did in his administration. And every American president has used tariffs. What Trump, I think, is just, he's a little more strategic about it in the sense that he tries to use it to fix, you know, fix market behaviors.
So last kind of topic for you, we're going around the world here quickly, Jim, but in Ukraine and Russia, we haven't hit on that yet. We're sitting here between U.S. administrations, and just like we were talking about a minute ago, it seems as if the U.S. administration has a lot to do with a lot of these world events, but they're between leaders. You know, Joe Biden's not really leading anything, but he's still technically in charge. Trump is, you know, pulling every string he can before he's even in office. Explain what's going, you know, when people are reading about this topic, right, they're reading highly partisan takes. Just explain what's going on right now with what Biden's trying to do versus what Trump's trying to do and what Putin and Zelensky are responding with.
Yeah. Well, I think all over the world, what we're seeing is the world adjusting to the incoming leadership of Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is already reshaping global affairs, and he's not in charge yet. What's happening in Ukraine is really simple. I actually think that both Ukraine and Russia are close to strategic exhaustion, and both are ready for a pause. Now, don't get me wrong. Russia still wants to conquer Ukraine. Ukraine still wants to get all its territory back. But if you think like fighters that are just waiting for the bell, I think they're both ready for a break. And they both know that Donald Trump is going to insist on a break. So what they are both doing right now is throwing everything into it to try and be in the strongest position possible. So when Trump comes in and says playtime's over, this is going to stop, they're in a stronger bargaining position. I think that's what's going on.
Do you think there's a chance that there's a day one ceasefire there or whatever it's called?
I don't know if there'll be a day one ceasefire. And I don't think actually Ukraine is the hot button issue. I think the Middle East is a much more dangerous and volatile situation, and I think that the president's going to have to really get that under control first as a priority.
It's weird to say this is good times, but it does finally look like we've been in a tunnel, and hey, you can kind of see the light at the end of some of these things as long as the train stays on the tracks, you know?
I think so, and I think, you know, this is the thing. You have to get past kind of all these kind of, you know, the tariffs are actually a good example. You see this all, people say, oh my God, if Trump does all these tariffs, the prices are going to go through the roof. Well, first of all, he hadn't done anything yet because he's not president. So we don't know how many tariffs the president's actually going to impose. And then the other thing is, look, people talk like tariffs are the only thing that drives the economy. And that's actually not true. There's a lot of other things you do that drive productivity. And so people might not even notice the tariffs. The people that are hit with the tariffs might not even pass the prices on to consumers. So just the notion that by the threat of tariffs, the end of the world is near, it's not true. You have to look at the totality of what the policies are, how they affect the economy, how they affect security, how they affect public safety. You know, immigration is another thing. People say, oh, my God, look how much it's going to cost to deport all these people. But when you compare that with the cost of illegal immigration, it's actually much cheaper to deport people. So I take a chill pill or a long vacation or just sit back and don't listen to news for a couple of months, because I think 6 months from now we should be in a much stronger place as a country.
Yeah, that's good advice, especially going into, a holiday week. So take some time off. Hope you get to come home, Jim, and spend some time with the family.
But whatever you do, do not stop listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah, that was what we were going to say once we hung up with you, because I felt bad.
Thanks, buddy.
We were going to say, thanks, Jim. All right. Hey, don't go away. Thanks, Jim. All right. Hey, don't go away. This is the Annie Fry Show. We will be here tomorrow, of course. Annie's got the week off, but we are live here at 121 here in St. Louis. Guess what's coming up tomorrow night? Guns N' Hoses. And this is the first time we have ever broadcast Guns N' Hoses. First time it's ever been broadcast on the radio, actually. So we're kind of excited about it. That's why we've been promoting it so much. It's a fun event. It is kind of a St. Louis tradition at this point, 37th annual Guns N' Hoses. Steve Holley is going to be in next to give me the rundown as somebody who's never been to the event and wants to know a little bit more about how intense this fighting actually gets. Stick around. Steve Holley's on the phone with us. I got to get out of this song. Steve, what in the world are we doing playing NSYNC going into your interview? What's happening here?
He's not there yet, bud.
Oh, he's not there
still
yet. Oh, he's calling him. Oh, I thought he was
Ryan's
there.
Like, oh, no. It's Backstreet Boys.
Get out of Backstreet Boys. I thought it was NSYNC. See, that's how much I know. Yeah, this will be fun. So tomorrow night, again, we are broadcasting Guns N' Hoses. This is the 37th annual St. Louis Budweiser Guns N' Hoses. Very, very cool event. This is one that I'm 43, so I've heard about this event pretty much every year since I've been old enough to hear about events. And I've never been. Have you?
Yeah, I have never been. And as a matter of fact, I didn't actually pay too much attention. Like, I knew it would go on. I'd see it on the news and stuff like that until one of my friends, who is a St. Louis police officer, messaged me one day. He's like, hey, guess what? I'm like, what? And he's like, I'm fighting in Guns N' Hoses. So he fought last year, and then he's got another fight this year, which I'm super excited about.
It's always the night before Thanksgiving, which is a great night to have anything. I remember a few years ago, now this was actually more than a few years ago, I was probably just out of college, and a friend of mine was having a concert at some local, like, it was probably one of those local venues that's not around anymore. It wasn't Mississippi Nights, but something like that. And I'm like, oh, my friend's playing on Locust or whatever. And so we went down there, and he, you know, fine band, fun, knew a few people, but I think every person I'd ever met that was associated with my buddy was there that night. The night before Thanksgiving, tomorrow night, is a huge night for partying. And by the way, I'm going to do a PSA here.
They call it Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving, sometimes, depending on when you have Thanksgiving or when you have it with your friends. But this is a very much a PSA. I'm definitely getting over the hill here. That is one of the biggest drinking nights of the year. So if you go out, that and New Year's Eve are the two nights that when police say, yeah, those are the nights everybody's on call, that's it. Because everybody is going out. Everybody's having a good time. Just make sure you're doing it responsibly. That's all I'm saying. So in light of that, do have a good time. You, Ethan's back in the studio here. Do you guys ever do a Friendsgiving? I've never done that.
I have not done one since high school, I don't think.
But you have done one.
Yeah, I've done one in the past, and no, they're fine. I mean, it's just basically an extra Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, for the food. That's pretty much all it is. So, I mean, it's like doubling your Thanksgiving, basically.
You guys, I have tomorrow's poll. Thanks to Todd on our live stream. Tomorrow's poll will be, is today, because this will be Wednesday, Skanksgiving or Friendsgiving? Because it's called both.
Why is it called Skanksgiving?
I think because that's when you wear your shirt that hangs a little low.
You wear your shirt that hangs a little low, Ryan?
You.
Oh,
I
me.
Said you. As
got
in, this
it.
Is
okay.
When you do that.
Got it. Okay.
I don't know why else people who are saying that in the chat can let us know, but I have heard that called Skanksgiving. Having trouble connecting with Steve Holley, so we'll just see if we can continue to get him. But we'll certainly promote the event. It's an event that I have never been to, but every time I've heard about this event, I've said, dang it, I need to go to that one year. The problem is, we're actually going out of town for Thanksgiving, and my wife is leaving a little bit before me, and so we have to stagger watching the kids and stuff. So that's just part of it. But in the meantime, a couple other stories I wanted to get to here. Brad.
Yes.
When you log into Yahoo.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you do very often.
All the time.
I actually look at Yahoo a lot. I don't know if it's because it's just like my default browser that comes up when I click on Google
that
or what.
Tracks.
Whatever it is, I see Yahoo is my homepage pretty often. And it won't surprise you to find out that Yahoo doesn't report well on Trump.
I am shocked. Aren't they just a news aggregator, though?
Sort of. I think they do have their own writers, but they do aggregate a lot. This is actually not a shock, because if you had to throw a dart, if you put every news outlet in the world, not just the Western world, but in the world that you could read in English, and you threw a dart at any story about any topic that had to do with Trump, you know that statistically you have a 96% chance of hitting a story that's negative toward Trump. That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
That is unbiased. You know, media watchdogs say that 96% of all stories are negative when reporting on Trump. A few of them are kind of in the middle, and very, very few would actually lean toward him. I don't know if we're in the midst of a change right now. We certainly have seen a lot of people eating their hat and going, everything we knew was not true in the last 3 weeks since the election. But when I clicked on Yahoo the other day, I was shocked to see this a headline. And here's why Yahoo matters to me, because it is a website for people who don't pay that close to attention to news.
Right, right.
If you just click on it and like it's on your phone or whatever, and it's your homepage, you're going to see the top four stories and you're going to get kind of a view of what's going on, but not a deep one. So the headlines to me on a site like that matter. We talk about BuzzFeed sometimes the same way. Right. If you see a positive headline on BuzzFeed for Trump, you're like, that's weird.
Yeah, but what's going on here?
This is one of those. It was on, and it's written by Yahoo, by the way, just to answer your finance Yahoo. It says, U.S. economic output since hits highest level since April 22 amid greater optimism among businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome, because it says to me that it's not just policy matters. Policy ultimately is the reason you elect a leader. But messaging that policy is very important.
Yeah, so much of business is speculation and what businesses believe
exactly
is going to happen. And let's look at the Energy Department. When the Biden administration came into office, the very first thing that they did was is they shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. Now, everybody will go, well, that was not even oil for us. No, you're right. Maybe it wasn't. But what it was a signal to the energy
industry.
Hey, we're done doing it.
Yep.
We're not going to do it that way anymore. Then you combine that with all the stuff where he was talking about no new drilling, all this other stuff. Well, energy companies are going to have to pivot. They're like, we're not going to get the permits under this administration. We've got to figure out something else. And so they have to pivot. Same thing goes for any other industry you want to say in that you want to put in there. Trump's messaging has always been very pro-business, pro-economy, pro-growth.
We're seeing it happen right now. We're seeing it happen with immigration. The people that are going to take over the federal government, Tom Holman, for instance, mm-hmm. and, you know, of course, Donald Trump, they are messaging right now to migrants, if you're here illegally, this would be a great time for you to go ahead and deport yourself. You're not going to love the process. We're not going to, I mean, they're not saying we're going to mistreat you.
Right.
But you're going to go to jail. And you know, sometimes things happen in jail that you don't like. Why don't you just choose to not break the law now and save everybody a lot of time and everybody a lot of money? That is a great message. But the other weird thing about the messaging that's happening right now from Tom Holman is that a lot of what he's having to do is message our own government.
Mm-hmm.
Not the deep state. That's going to be dealt with. Mayors, governors across the country are fighting him on deportation. Realize, governors, maybe even the mayor of this city, Tashar Jones, if you're listening right now. Know you love 97.1. Go along with what voters just said. No, the majority of St. Louis didn't vote for Donald Trump, but a lot more of them did than last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know why that is? Because of crime in your city, because of illegal immigration, and maybe because of the economy. Sometimes all three of them mixing together. You have right now the mayor of Denver. Now, when I say Denver, I just went to Denver. Denver's a beautiful place. It's also super expensive. So I don't think I'm going to live there. So, but if you're there, you're probably going to have a pretty good amount of money because it's a hot place to live. Colorado Springs, which is just south of Denver, oddly, is one of the most conservative cities in the entire United States. One of the top 10 most conservative voting. But Denver is not. And Denver controls the state of Colorado, much like Chicago controls the state of Illinois. Denver is very, very liberal, and they have a liberal-leaning mayor. And I say leaning on purpose because this guy should realize he's done a lot of stuff. The governor of Colorado has done stuff that every now and then you go, maybe he's got a little sanity. I disagree with him for the most part, but every now and then they say things. You go, maybe you got some sanity. Then he comes out and says, I'm going to protect illegal immigrants in my city. Realize, sir, that more people in your city voted for Trump this time than last time. Same across every city. And yet he's fighting Tom Homan before Homan even takes office to say he's going to protect illegals. And that includes illegal Venezuelan gangs in his city. If you've heard us say it before, it's because it's so ridiculous, but now it's being dealt with. And Tom Homan is not fooling around. Here's him talking directly to, through the media, the mayor of Denver.
You're absolutely breaking law. All you have to do is look at Arizona versus U.S. You'll see he's breaking law. But look, me and the Denver mayor, we agree on one thing. He's willing to go to jail. I'm willing to put him in jail. Because there's a statute. It's Title 8 United States Code 1324 III. And what it says is, it's a felony if you knowingly harbor and conceal illegal alien from immigration authorities.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday with Brad Young. Are they going to use this authority? It is black and white. There's no question that if you are harboring illegal aliens in defense of the illegal alien over the government, that you are breaking the law and it's a felony. Tom Homan is now saying that it's not just, you know, some random person who's harboring illegal aliens. It is governors and mayors in positions of power who are doing it. And he's saying, we will throw you in jail if you break the law. Isn't that what you wanted? And here's how we put a finer point on this whole segment. People who are saying nobody is above the law for the last 4 years. This is what you wanted, right? You wanted the law to be followed. Illegal immigration is breaking the law. Harboring illegal immigrants is breaking the law. Shouldn't those people go to jail? It seems as if it's pretty cut and dry. And the message is clear. Whether this ever happens, I don't know. But Tom Homan is out there making sure that the message to our own, I don't know what you want to call them, rebel insurrectionists within, whatever name you want to use, that they know what's coming for them. I hope we never get to the point where we have to actually put people in jail. That is so far past where I hope we have to get. But the message is not wrong.
Like, the thing that blows my mind about it was this Denver mayor comes out and he's like, hey, I'm willing to go to jail over this. And it's like, these aren't even citizens of the United States.
They're breaking the law.
Right. They're breaking the law. And you are willing to go to jail to protect their rights. In the meantime, what are you doing to the rights of the citizens of Colorado, the citizens of Denver, the citizens of the United States? Why is it so important for you to defend these people who broke the law? Regardless of the reasons, they broke the law. They're here illegally. They are illegal aliens. They are not illegal immigrants. They are not undocumented. They are not visitors. They are illegal aliens. They are here illegally because they broke the law to get here. It doesn't matter their reason why. Why are you so adamant on defending them at the cost of your own citizens? You look at Chicago. You listen to J.B. Pritzker talk about it, and then you listen to Brandon Johnson talk about it, and then you look at Chicago. And the residents of Chicago are livid because their government has turned its back on them. I hope that you don't, like, it doesn't come to this. But why is it that you are going to go out there and say something as asinine as, I'm willing to go to jail for these people? Why? Send them back.
Yeah, the new borders are saying, okay, I hate to do this to you, but you might. They just lost an election, Brad, and then we'll move on here. But they just lost an election. This is a time to reassess. Mm-hmm. Instead, what you're seeing, and not exclusively, you are seeing some reassessment. But you are also seeing people in positions of power doubling down on the bad policies that got them into the situation they're in now, where you have red majorities in every branch of federal government.
Yeah, and if you want to double down, if you want to continue to lose, we can remove those bad ideologies one way or the other. One is we don't vote for you anymore and your party fades into irrelevance. Or two, you remove it and maybe save your party.
140, we are in the midst of the Annie Fry Show, which we call the Manny Fry Show when Annie is not here. I hope you're having a great week. This is supposed to be kind of a relaxing week, so if you've got a little time off or maybe work's a little easier than it usually is, hopefully that's the case and you're kind of hanging out with us. We got Wiggins America coming up next, and if you hear the sound of my voice, you'd think, how is Wiggins going to host and do Wiggins America? Well, I don't. I just get to sit here like Annie does and take pot shots at Ethan while he does Wiggins America. It's going to be fantastic, and it's next. We're playing a little musical chairs here. Steve Holly, executive director of St. Louis Budweiser's Guns N' Hoses, is now joining us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ryan. Sorry I'm late.
Hey,
we're getting ready for a big event.
this really works out better because you're not going to believe this, but somebody used Backstreet Boys as the Bump Street music for what would have been your segment last time. So I think you're better off here. So, Steve, tell us the story of Guns N' Hoses and then tell us how you got involved.
Well, Guns N' Hoses was started by Jerry Clinton, a local Anheuser-Busch beer distributor, Merle Taylor, a local labor leader, Jeff Martorelli, a local labor leader, and my dad was also involved. He was one of the founding fathers of amateur boxing in the area. So I grew up with amateur boxing. And way back when, in 1987, Jerry had the vision to raise funds for the families of first responders that have gotten killed in the line of duty. And luckily, there wasn't that many of them back then. You know, times have changed, but his vision came true, and this is year number 37 for us. So we've donated approximately $12 million to the Backstoppers to support those families. So with the last 3 years, we've raised $1 million each, and if all things go well, we'll raise another $1 million this year.
Steve, that's great, and I didn't think to ask you this question until you just said that, but you're saying, 37 years ago, this problem wasn't as bad. Is that primarily for police, or is that across the board that you just have more first responders that are being hurt in the line of duty?
No, I can't give you a specific reason, but it is across the board, and it's dangerous, more dangerous than it was 37 years ago is probably the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. So let's talk about Guns N' Hoses. This is an event that Brad, who's sitting across from me producing the show right now, he has never been before, but certainly has known people who have participated in it. I have never been, but gosh, I've been a part of so many promotions of Guns N' Hoses. We just usually travel for Thanksgiving. But tomorrow night, 97.1 is airing Guns N' Hoses on the air for the first time. And this will be a lot of fun. Tell us what people can expect to hear if they're tuning in to 97.1 tomorrow night.
Well, if you're tuning in, you're going to hear a little bit of everything. We have boxing. We have pomp and circumstance. We have donations. We have raffles. We've got some things that people are going to wish they could see. We've got Santa Claus. But most importantly, we have the first responders get in the ring, and, you know, they pour their guts out. They train. They're not professional athletes. They do this to support the cause. And that's going to come through during the broadcast. Even though you don't have the visuals to support it, our announcers, as you know, well know, Tom Ackerman, Jesse Finney, they do a great job in painting the picture of why we're all here. It just gives you a good feeling, and we're so happy that it's going to be on 97.1. We've formed that new partnership, and it's going to get bigger and better. And it's a real pleasure and a real treat for us to be associated with you guys.
Yeah, this is like a who's who event. 37 years in a row, Budweiser Guns N' Hoses going on now. This event. Is the boxing, like, pretty raw, Steve? I mean, are we talking about some pretty good fights here? Or do they go long? Are they kind of short? Is it everywhere?
Well, the way that I put the fights together is, as long as they're even, It doesn't matter if it's two good guys, two average guys, or two bad guys. Two even guys can put a fight on. These guys train under facilities that are under my umbrella. Safety is always our number one concern. And they train. They had a tryout. They have to pass what we call a box off to get into the show. And the big challenge is they've been working out in gyms. All of a sudden, tomorrow evening, they're going to go out under the big lights with 15,000 people screaming. So some people can adapt, and unfortunately others don't. But from a skill standpoint, it really doesn't matter. As long as you have two athletes that are same skill level, I guarantee you they're going to put on a great show.
Hey, Steve, this is Brad. I had a question for you. I saw on the bill that it looks like that you guys are expanding out of just boxing and you're moving in and you're going to have an MMA bout or two.
We expanded to MMA a few years ago, so we're going to show one on TV, and obviously you guys will get the benefit of that being announced because the younger generation is moving towards MMA. It's not that boxing is going to go away, but it gives them a different flavor to cheer for. You know, their guys can get involved, and then opens up some great venues for us to pull fighters from. Jesse Finney from Shamrock Promotions, he's our executive vice president. So he takes care of all the MMA, and we want to showcase it because it is first responders. So they said they wanted to get in and get down on the mat and get done, so we're going to let them do it.
Steve, I don't know if you know this about me, but I got a pretty good ground game. I'm not good at boxing, but I will go down and I'll sneak up and tie somebody's shoes together when they're not looking.
I like that. Might have to get you in the ring.
Yeah.
Celebrity.
Right. Yeah. Like I could be a huge celebrity name that you could add to the event.
I think we can do that. I might be able to find a guy in a wheelchair that will take you on.
Oh, man.
That's not fun for tying people's shoes together. Hey, let me ask you this, Steve. Last question for you. But when you said, like, hey, we'll get some really good guys, we'll pair them up, some even guys, and then some really bad ones. Are the really bad ones the fun fights to watch, or is it just like you never know?
No, they're all great because they all try.
Yeah.
And let's put it this way. If you have a real good guy and a guy that's not so good, it's not going to be fun to watch.
Right.
But if you have two guys that are equal skill levels, it's going to be fun to watch. You know, it's absolutely going to be fun to watch. And we've had some tremendous brawls over the years. And a little bonus, we have a female bout this year that'll be televised, and you'll get the benefit of the simulcast on.
Yeah, that might go viral.
Everybody loves the girl.
Yeah,
everybody
loves it. Right. Well, Steve, thank you for leading this for us and for being a part of what I know 97.1 is very excited. People have been talking about this for a couple months now. We're excited that it's almost here. Tomorrow night, I'm sure you are too.
Yes, sir. And you guys have an open invitation. If you'd like to come, let me know. We'll treat you like kings.
That sounds great. Brad, did you hear that?
I'm there already. I've got my tickets.
He's going to be there. So, Steve, he might seek you out and look for a crown. So,
absolutely. I'm ready for it. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And we're going to have a great partnership.
All right, Steve. Thank you. God bless with everything tomorrow night. Steve Holly, Executive Director of St. Louis Budweiser Guns and Hoses. Man, are you looking forward to it?
I am stoked. I said that a little bit earlier in the show that I've got a friend that's fighting in it. He's one of the MMA bouts that they're going to put on TV. Super cool story. He's fighting against a friend that he wrestled with and was on the wrestling team when they were both in high school. Now one of them's a police officer, one of them's a firefighter. It's this really cool story. But I'm just really excited. I've watched it on TV. I'm really excited to see everything that can go on with this.
Mark Cox had a woman on this morning who I listened to the whole interview and I thought, gosh, this is a really compelling story. I don't think she was like trying to tell a compelling story, but she had some problems with her jaw. And I missed the very beginning of it, so I didn't hear whether it was something in the line of duty that caused it, but I know that she had a problem with her jaw. And it's just the most weird things. You know, we see the commercials and you see the Fox News commercials and you kind of have a picture of what it looks like to help somebody who's been hurt in the line of duty.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always look like that.
Right.
And hearing her story, it was just an issue that just continued to deteriorate. And I don't want to put words in her mouth, you know, because she was so much better at telling than I would be. But that at one point she finally said, man, this is causing so many problems with eating and so on and so forth. And then she went through the process of insurance. And of course, because insurance is terrible and stupid, they were piecemealing what they'd cover for her. And so I don't think she was even seeking out backstoppers, but they got a hold of her and said, everything that insurance is not covering, we got.
Well, yeah. And then like another story that I heard yesterday whenever we had Lieutenant Colonel O'Toole on, who's head of the Backstoppers, executive director of the Backstoppers, they talked about how they helped widows put roofs on their houses and just like little things that you wouldn't think that they would need help with. They step in and they cover that gap. They fill that gap. And I just can't think of a better organization than Backstoppers, and Guns and Hoses is awesome.
I love that Backstoppers is active searching for those stories, because you get to a point with some charities that it does become kind of like people coming to you for handouts.
Mm-hmm.
That is not at all what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who are very much deserving because of their service. I mean,
Right. That's
like criteria number one. These are people who have served in some capacity who now need our help. And so 97.1, man, we're so glad to get involved with Guns and Hoses this year. We're going to take a quick break. Right after this, I keep teasing Wiggins America. I've been teasing it since like 12:30. So at 2:05, we are going to talk to Ethan, do Wiggins America. I think he's bringing us some Taco Bell secrets, which I've been looking forward to because I don't know them all, and maybe you don't either. And then also we'll answer this YouTube live chat poll. How will the next 4 years go? Good times or bad times? You got to go one way or the other there. A lot of comments. We'll get some of those next here on the Annie Fry Show, which we're calling the Manny Fry Show, today on 97.1.